I'm going to read in just a minute or two two verses from this, the Word of God. I would like just to emphasize a little of what Mr. Barron has only just, as it were, referred to, that this is a day when we have got to have a new idea of missions as such, in that as we come out from what you call the mission field, we find that although everything in the way of civilization, education, your way of living has gone forward, your idea of God, your idea of God's power, your idea of what should be done for the heathen and those who know him not, has not gone forward at the same pace. In fact, I find it has not even kept up with the pace of ordinary things. There was a day when we did all our washing by hand, but now we do it by washing machine. Well, have you ever thought that there was a day when we had to climb mountains on our own 2 feet? Well, we don't climb mountains on our own 2 feet now with the gospel. We have a missionary aviation fellowship that picks a missionary up here and flies him over the other side of that mountain. And dear friends, you have got to get caught up in some of these things that you seem to have lagged behind in. And you'll find that God will challenge you in his own way. He does, in love. He doesn't expect us to do something we cannot. Doesn't expect us all to rush out now to the mission field. That means some foreign land. But I truly believe that he expects every single man or woman or child who really believes they're saved to be doing something for him. You do it for your family, dear friend, don't you? Poor God's family? Chinese anything to do with you? Eskimos anything to do with you? Africans in the heart of Africa anything to do with you? Friend, they are God's family. God never intended that you and I should settle down and just be concerned with four or five people simply because they happen to be your own personal family. Jesus Christ died for all men. They are his family. May you see it in this light. Now, this afternoon, as God speaks to us, I would like just to give you an idea of the places around about me that I can tell you about. I can't tell you about Africa or India or other places that I'm not connected with. But I live on the little island of Formosa, which lies off the south coast of that great land of China. Here are we who hold or stand on that island, believe that God gave us the island and our freedom. Because although the mixture of Chinese peoples on the island, all coming from different parts of the mainland, talking different languages, understanding different customs, have all at some time lived under the hand of an oppressor. The original people of the island, who lived away in the fastnesses of those mountains because they were afraid of the people who then were in control of the island. And then those who came over centuries ago from southern China to, as it were, immigrate. They lived under a Japanese oppressor during the war. And now, from Red China, there has come all these who are or have been refugees. And so we, every single one of us, except the babies, know what it is to have no liberty. And we are standing for freedom, for liberty, But, dear friend, not, as you may imagine, at any cost. No. We believe God gave it us, and in the name of God and Christ, we're going to keep it. We're not expecting to fight or kill people. We're expecting that through the promises in this book, God, who is a God of love, will keep his promise to us. North of this little island are the islands of Japan. Japan, dear friend, that only a few years ago was a defeated nation, which today has the largest city in the world, Tokyo, which is one of the leading nations. And, dear friend, away ahead of you. We have yet to see here in your Australia what we have seen in Japan. The energy of its youth, the go-aheadness of its people. They are not sitting down and taking things, no. They are marching forward. They're not only going to bring into their own land what they want and believe is right, but they're going to take it to others. And friend, they're a terrific challenge to us. Remember, it was they who threw the world into war before. They were once our enemies, and now they have become our friends. They could easily become our enemies again. They've power enough. They have strength enough. They're educated enough. Do you want them as your enemy? Here is a mission field, dear friend. Right open, almost on your doorstep, Japan, with its teeming millions of energetic youth who want to go somewhere and intend to get where they want to go. North of Japan and its islands is this heartbreaking land of Korea. Man in his pride said, well, we'll let the top half go and leave the bottom half. After all, it doesn't matter, does it? Dear friend, there was a time when I believed I knew all about sorrow. I, who had lived a lonely life for years in the middle of China, who had stood in rows, the same as every other refugee, to get my daily ration, who'd lived in refugee camps, who'd had to wear what somebody gave me because I had nothing of my own, who'd known what it is to be penniless and hungry and miserable, I thought I knew it all. Until last year I went to Korea and discovered I didn't know the edge of real suffering and real sorrow. Friend, this is a mission field in itself. This heartbreaking land with its millions of people who long for freedom, both north and south. Divided families. You'll find a little woman living down here with her child, knowing that her husband is only a few miles, but he's over that line those clever men made. God didn't put a parallel down the middle of a country. This is man. But the door's open anyway to South Korea. Friend, I stood in one place and saw 400 newborn babies, all waiting for somebody to come and love them. They'd been picked up on the streets, in the fields, in somebody's dustbins, behind doors. And they lay all over the place in parcels, in little baskets, little cardboard shoeboxes, any kind of thing that they could be put in. 400 of them. I wonder what's going to come of these children. Each one, dear friend, is a soul for whom Christ died. But that's Korea. And then the islands of the sea, the Pescadores and the Philippines, which up to a few years ago, if you had walked in one of those cities and they had known you were a Christian, they would probably have thrown something at you and chased you out. but which today they will welcome in and ask you, have you time enough to sit down and talk about this great God you worship and his Son, Jesus Christ? And then this little place, Hong Kong, where there's millions of aching hearts. And as you walk up the roads and you jostle them in and out the shops or the little passes outside for a little fresh air, you have to realize that every single one is a refugee. Everyone has something in their heart to be resentful over. They didn't ask to be born in China, neither did they ask to be let down and be forgotten. They only asked to be able to live in their own way. And so here they are. They've left their homes, and in many cases their loved ones and all they knew, not because they thought that the outside from where they lived was any better or different from where they were born and brought up, but because I believe that in the heart of every man there is a longing for freedom. That's why they come. And there they are, all waiting not only to be met with food and clothes, but with the Word of God. These, dear friend, are the people who, to me, are the mission field. I pray that something of the burden which God has put upon not only my heart, but the hearts of those he has sent out to work in these places, may today reach out to you, that you, as God challenges you, would accept it for prayer, or to do something, whatever he puts into your heart or your mind, that at least one might know how wonderful he is. I'm going to read two verses, the 23rd and 24th verses of the 139th Psalm. These two verses swept over the north of China some years before the war came. God used them not only in the heart of missionaries, but our Chinese Christians, and it swept around into areas where the gospel had never been, or where there was arguments and quarrels, and brought us low onto our knees before God. And we can only praise him that through his Holy Spirit he does alert us, he does challenge us, so that not only we, but others can have blessing. The 23rd and 24th verses of the 139th Psalm. Now my Bible is Chinese, and I have tried to turn it back into English as near as it stands in Chinese to you. O God, examine me, test and refine my inmost thoughts, intentions, meanings. Look right inside me to see if there is hate, evil in my living, that you may lead me along your heavenly way. David, who one day stood before the man of God, and the oil of anointing was poured onto his head,
King of Israel.
No. That was the intention. David knew, the man of God knew, the men who stood there knew, and everybody who knew David knew. And God's intention was that David should have power. He had made him king, but he wasn't king. David, for years, chased around in the mountains, couldn't even go to his own home. The men who joined him all had grievances. There were times when David was hungry, miserable, lonely. You read through the Psalms how he pours out his heart. Why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why has it got to be like this? And then we find that David comes down one day to discover that it is nothing to do with Saul, his enemy. It is nothing to do with the men who had grievances, who'd followed him. It's nothing to do with circumstances or the times in which he's living. And it certainly is nothing, anything to do with God. It's nothing to do with anything around. It is in David's own personal heart. And so we find David going up on the side of this mountain and what I call lying out. And he says, "Oh God, examine me. You see, it's inside here. I have cursed those men, my enemies. I have hated those who chased me. I have lain and thought of plans how to take cities. And I know now why I have no power. Why I am not on the throne. It's in there." Friend, what you and I are troubled with and concerned with, the deadness of our church, the fact that the mission field has failed God, the fact that there are more heathens on earth today than there ever were, the fact that communism goes where it likes and says what it likes and no Christian dares to stop it is because there is something in your heart and mine that has got to be turned out. "Oh God," says David, "examine me." The Chinese word here for examine is a very wonderful expression. It was put in this, the Chinese Bible, long, long before modern civilization as such came. And it is two words, jian cha, the two words that when the world turned round made into the customs. Every traveller, whatever he or she travels for, where from or where to, going into any port in China, even in Hong Kong, sees two words, jian cha. And it doesn't matter how clever you are or who you are, you've got to go through. That's law. And you find yourself standing beside a man who says, "Is your case, madam? You care to open it?" "Oh, you don't care, but you have to." He'll ask you what you're in your handbag. You got anything you shouldn't? How much money you've got? And you think, well, isn't he rude? Isn't that my personal business? This is law, dear friend. The custom. Strange that these were the two words that are translated here to serve. And so here is David, as it were, going through the customs. I don't know how many of you have travelled very far, and whether you have got to some place off the boat or the plane, and there stands this man who questions and searches. And although you know that you have nothing that you should not have, it gives you a sort of queer feeling to have an utter and perfect stranger poking about your personal things, and asking you about your personal heart's intentions. But that is only outward. Oh God, God, here is David going through the customs, not for his outward belongings, but for the inward intentions and thoughts of his heart. And so he says, test and refine my inmost thoughts, intentions, meanings. The intention is the seed of the thought. Today, I or you have a good intention. And we decide that next week or tomorrow we will go and do some good deed, visit old Mrs. So-and-so who's sick. And that intention, as the time gets nearer, comes out in a real definite thought. And we think how we can go, and if we eventually go, it becomes a meaning in our life. But we may have a bad intention, which eventually comes into a bad thought, which in the future turns into a bad meaning in our life. And so God has given to us this most wonderful and amazing thing that we go through, as it were, his customs, so that these things shall be sorted out. And the contraband goods are thrown out. And if we are in his will, only those things that please him will be passed. Examine, test, and refine. To test is the same as refining, only a different method for some particular object that you want to use in some way. In the west of China, we produced, and they still do now, the most wonderful and beautiful silk in the world. It is made from silkworms. And it is made by the little family in what you would call the little home factory. And I have stood time and time again and watched the man come out from his dirty little house with what looked like a ball of yellow fluff in his hand. He pulls out a thread that you can hardly see, it is so fine, and he hooks it round a nail or a little twig stuck in a pole outside his house. And keeping hold of that thread in his hand and the bulk of the raw silk in his other hand, he puts them, both hands, behind him. And very slowly, but very deliberately, he begins to walk back. And the one tiny thread is pulled. It has to go round that nail. If it breaks, he takes the whole of the bulk and throws it down, picks up another one, and begins all over again. On one thread hangs the life of a man. This silk during the war was what parachutes were made of. Testing. Being pulled until you don't know you're going to break. But you're in the hand of the customs official, or the person who is in control. To refine is something I know very little about, but which I understand metal goes through a fire so that the dross is burned up and only that which is real and true is left. Test and refine. What? Me? Oh no, it goes deeper than that, dear friend. My thoughts. My intentions. My meanings. Something that is going to come out and hit the people I live with. Or the people I come in contact with every day. The people I know. And many who don't know. I wonder how many are going to allow God to search so deep that we will be willing that he this afternoon takes out what I call the contraband goods. Dear friend, we're going to find that most of us carry around things that are of no value whatsoever to God. Look right inside me and see if there is hate, evil in my living. We don't want to admit that we hate anybody. We are very careful to cover up any evil that we even know or even think about that is inside our heart. But he's going to put his finger on it. This is the great Almighty God. And dear friend, I do not believe until you and I have been, as it were, through the customs, until you and I have been willing that he take out the contraband goods, that he searched us, stripped us of these things which are of no value, shown us our own hearts in such a way that jealousy, pride, criticism, self-will, all those things that we know are not of him, are turned out. We cannot go his way. The final clause in this says, that you may take me along your heavenly way. And friend, you will find that it was after this verse David became king. And it was this, as if God was saying, David, I love you. I chose you. I was willing years ago to put the scepter of authority in your head. I was willing to put the crown of the kingdom of Israel on your head. I was willing to give you power, but you couldn't even control your own temper. I'm not going to have a man like that sitting on the throne to rule my people. Dear friend, I believe God wants to use us. I believe he's waiting to use us. But we're so full up of all the things that the world says we must do or we mustn't do, or convention says we have to do or we have not to do. And so we all are walking round with crowds of things that are nothing to do with God, that should have been cast overboard. And we, with our empty hearts, as it were, filled with his love, his joy, and his salvation. I was in the north of China during the war. I went to China long before the war. And to me, those little villages, the people in those villages, the one little city, and the people in that one small city belonged to me. I'd claimed them for Jesus Christ. It was I who had given them the love of God. And then down from the north swept the enemy army. And I watched those soldiers take our men and torture them. I watched them carry our women away and rape them.
I saw them take our babies and throw them onto dust heaps. And I hated them.
Haven't I right?
Weren't they my enemy?
Maybe.
At this time, Gladys Aylward was not preaching about a God of love. She was doing all sorts of very good things with good intentions.
Oh, yes.
But I wasn't conscious of the fact that very few sermons or talks were coming from me that were going to help very many people. And if you had come into my yard, you would have found along the back wall a row of little boys. These little boys sat there at certain times. They looked very innocent. They're cheerful little fellows, you know. And they all sat in a row playing five stones or something. But at a certain given signal, they all stood up. And if you watched very carefully, you would see why. They were all sitting on the end of a piece of string. That when they got up, the string sort of flicked into the air. Because the string was fastened onto a big stone that was balanced onto the top of that wall. And as the string went up, like a catapult, the stone flew over the other side of the wall. All of us were clever. Oh, it was clever. I know, because that was me. I did all that. I put them stones up there. I fixed those strings on there. Those were my little boys all sitting there. Shall I tell you why? Because at that certain given time, outside that wall, which was the wall that went round the city, there met two Japanese sentries. One from that city gate, and one from that city gate. And they marched in precision until right underneath my wall, where they clicked their heels and they said some password, and in a split second they turned round, departed, and marched back. And Gladys Aylward said, I hope a brick falls on one of their heads. Hate! Gladys Aylward, what did I send you to China for? The hope that a brick that you managed to drop over a wall might kill a man? Friend, these hands hoped. I never killed anybody. But I'm a murderer in the eyes of God because I hoped the bricks would kill him. Oh God, examine me. Test and refine my inmost thoughts. Turn them out before it becomes an intention. You're going to be a murderer, friend, with that hate in your heart, with that evil that you will not let God put his finger on. And Gladys Aylward would lay on the ground and said, oh God, thank you for saving those men. And tell me how to turn round and preach to them of your love. Are we willing? Because this is what God wants. To me, I know God did something which was tremendous in that from the pride and the hate in my heart, he gave a humbleness and a love to be able to touch those very men. That they became Christians is beside the point. This is between God and you, God and me. And this afternoon, dear friend, I believe that God is waiting to touch you and me. To speak, as it were, to you and me, that we might be willing to throw out those things that we now know are contraband, that he pouring in his love, we might go out with a good intention, a good meaning, that men might know of his glory, his love, and his salvation, whereas otherwise they would only know the other side. I've already tried to give you a picture of what is to me my mission field. And dear friends, I do not believe we want more organizations, more fellowships, more what I call proper missionaries. We want men and women who have been willing to stand before God, who is the great customs official, who have allowed him to take from their hearts all contraband goods and pour in his love, so that they won't mind what they eat, they won't mind where they go, they won't even mind what they do, because they will be sure that where they happen to be is where this great, almighty, and wonderful God wants them to serve him. And I pray that to you will be willing to be humble enough to allow him just to put his finger on some of these things. Because you see, dear friend, I believe that we have failed God. In that the church is not powerful. Oh no, it isn't. Communism has claimed the whole of Russia. It has claimed the whole of China. We cannot say, dear friend, we're winning. We're not. We're losing. And each day we read in our papers, and we know from experience, that they take a few more inches and a few more souls. Where is our great almighty God? Isn't he still in his heaven? Isn't he still there with the power of heaven and earth, ready to give to us? Didn't Jesus stand on the side of the mountain and say, all the power of heaven and earth is yours, if only you'll go and tell of my life? Well, dear friend, he hasn't altered. You can't blame the times. You can't blame governments. All power is outside of all that. The power of God. What's gone wrong? Friend, it's inside here, isn't it? I've told you how I work night and day to fix those bricks on there. But I'm willing enough to tell you that God brought me down low enough to have to admit that the hate and the evil had got to go, and in its place there has got to be, even for our enemies, love. And friend, I believe that God is challenging, as he has never challenged before, for prayer such as will be poured out for the salvation of men, a giving such as probably these kind of places that you live in have never known, or that men who have never had Bibles might have them, that the word of God might go forward, and that we might be able to say, well, we're on the winning side now. I went to China because I believe God asked me to. I have nothing to explain why. There was no foundation or any backing of any sort anywhere in my life. I was not brought up in missionary circles. I had never been to a meeting like this before I went to China. I've never really read the Bible. I only know that God, a great almighty God, did something in my heart. And although I never saw a vision with my eyes, I know he gave me a sort of vision of the men and women who would die without Christ in China, and it was something to do with me. That was all that sent me. I had nothing else to go on. And I wonder why some of you don't get some of these visions, why you don't get moving for God. Is the world so wonderful? Didn't he die for those people out there? Is it nothing really to you? Friend, you're up a wrong turning. You are not in the way of God unless you are exactly today where truthfully and honestly you can say, God put me here. This afternoon I believe we, each one, have got to get to this place and realize that God gave to us power, but we never took it. He gave to us authority, but we haven't got it. He gave to us what stands or should stand in the eyes of the world as something greater, mightier, and more powerful than what the others outside of him have ever got or ever will. But we haven't got it. We let men divide Korea. We let communism take China. We let the devil sit in Russia. We let refugees pour homelessly out day by day. And we give them a few meals. We send our old clothes. And we laugh and we criticize Chiang Kai-shek and his silly little island. And we say, oh, a few little offshore islands don't matter. What are they to us? Friend, may God challenge you. These are your family. And when they fall, you fall too. God is a God of justice, of righteousness, as well as a God of love. And remember, he didn't only send his son for the English-speaking nations who happened to be white. He sent them for our black brothers and our yellow brothers, and for these who, through no fault of their own, were born behind iron curtains. And today they have got to mean something to you and to me. You can't go to the mission field until you have had a vision of your own heart as God sees it. As I have tried to tell you how I saw my heart, filled with hate for men who I'd never seen, but who were my outward, literal enemies. And here is me, who'd been sent, I truly believe, by God to preach a gospel of love, trying to find ways to kill them. But God, in his mercy, comes and he reveals our hearts to us. And as it were, as David says, takes over. Because he wants that not only us, the person, shall go along his heavenly way, but we shall take others with us. And the joy of being able to go back and bring along some of those people is something that I only pray you will experience. I one day put on the only decent gown that anybody in that whole place possessed. It wasn't mine, it belonged to somebody else. And I went off down the street, lined with enemy soldiers, right straight into the very place where sat the head of the enemy army, the general. And I said, sir, I have come, you can now from this moment do exactly what you like with me. I have planned, I haven't succeeded, but I did plan to kill your sentries behind my wall. And if you like to come, I will show you how. But I would confess my sin and promise that I will never again do this, because my God has told me that I'm wrong. And he said, what? You mean you're willing to come and tell me all this? Well, if I don't tell you, aren't I still further wrong? Will you sit down? Me? Sit down in your presence? But I've come to tell you that I plan to kill your men. Oh, well. And he was sort of swept off his feet. And the outcome is that as long as the enemy occupied our city, on one side sat our Chinese brothers and sisters, and on the other side sat the enemy soldiers in the chapel where Sunday by Sunday went forth the word, the love of Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, what happens? I believe this happened to David, and I believe it maybe has happened to some of you. I can only tell you how it happened to me. And instead of what would have been, now is what God intended. Oh God, examine me. Test and refine my inmost thoughts, intentions, meanings. Look right inside me and see if there is hate, evil in my living, that you may take me. Oh, but Lord, not alone. No, you can bring all those others with you along your heavenly way. Dear friend, isn't it wonderful? This, I believe, is what God wants. And today, as you face up to some of the realities that you read about in your missionary books, the open doors in Africa, the longing for the gospel in India, or whatever place you happen to be interested in, or even here in your own Australia, where there, I'm sure, must be hundreds of open doors and places. Isn't God going to challenge us for an alertness, for a forward march, as it were, for Him and His glory? Friends, when the communists came into Red China, you could have gone down onto our city street, and every few feet along that street you would have seen a little man or woman with a piece of cloth, and the little person sitting cross-legged, and set out on the piece of cloth are rows and rows of very cheery, lurid looking books. Oh, they're not printed on very good paper. They've got very ugly pictures, but with us who've been starved for years for reading matter and literature in a nation which is a reading nation. Chinese love to read, and they read anything and everything. And you could have bought one of those books for as cheap as one penny. Communist literature. And dear friend, the only Bible in that area was the one that lived under my arm. Simply because it could be used by anybody who stopped me. It was the only one. You see, friend, where we failed. Oh, they were on the march. But we weren't on the march. Oh, God, examine. Have you criticized? Are you going to criticize again, friend? Perhaps you'd like to come and see the hardness of the way, the terrific problems, the obstacles one has to battle through, and you expect one little woman who you put a few pennies every week to help keep, battles through all that. She isn't an armchair friend. She has nothing to do if she's got perhaps only 1 hour off, only sit on a hard stone somewhere, criticised her because she didn't do more, because you thought she ought to have been doing something different. Friend, may God speak to you, because it is these little pinpricks, it's these things that hurt us. And we find on coming out, you criticise us. You criticize our people. You criticize the way we work. But you don't do anything to help us. Or give us any encouragement in trying to do it in a different way. Oh God, examine me. Search and test and refine not someone else, but me. Because, dear friend, God is a personal God, and He intends to work through you and me, the person. And I do not believe He asks anyone to go or to do or to be something that that person cannot. He is love, and He picks up the person to put them down in whatever place He knows they're going to be most fruitful for His glory in. This I truly believe. And dear friend, as some of these doors stand open, is God going to challenge? I believe that to those of us who are already, as it were, in our little niches, you have your families, or you cannot run around in the same way as some of the others. Have you ever realized that this great, wonderful power that God has given to us, the power of prayer, should be shaking those citadels of Satan? Why aren't they afraid of us? They're not. They're not. But why? Friend, I believe it's because we don't know how to pray. Why do men fail? Because we don't pray for them. And we're going to wake up and find before long that these who only found Christ a few years ago are going to be ahead of us in the eyes of God, who have a foundation on this book and from our forefathers, and we should have been the ones that they should be leaning on and looking up to. Because, friend, you're going to be amazed that although the church in Southeastern Asia is in numbers small, it's very strong. Stronger than yours. Oh God, examine me. You see, it's personal. And I believe that God would have us willing to open our hearts and let Him speak to us. I've already said that God called me, took me to China as a girl in my 20s, and although I didn't understand why, I went because I believed that it was He who had called. And I really thought that everything was going to go just wonderful, and that because I had just thrown aside all the things that were to me valuable, God was going to just flood great blessings on me, and I was going to go swimmingly forth, and everything was going to be wonderful. All was in the garden was lovely sort of idea. And then we go out and we find that all these obstacles that come in our way, and we don't get through, and people don't listen as we expect, and we don't learn a language as quick as we thought we would, and all sorts of problems come, and all sorts of things flood over us, and we get frustrated, and we get bewildered, and we wonder, is our God really a God of love? And all this, I believe, dear friends, is not because we haven't answered God, is not because we haven't stepped out in faith with God, but because the group or groups that we belong to or should be being held up by have, once we've gone out, almost forgotten that we ever existed. And friend, today I truly believe and I dare to say that the failure of our church or churches, because I mean the church universal, its failure is because we, the individual, had forgotten how to pray and claim the promises of God. When I went from Red China back to England, which was my original home, I had already been gone over 20 years. And I, who found things terribly difficult when I went in that I had forgotten everything in that 20 years. But I remember going into a little mission, and a dear little old lady met me, and she beamed from ear to ear at me, and she said, "Well, Gladys dear, we're still here. Here we are." And she led me to the front. She said, "Here's the seat I've sat in for 20 years. We're still going on the same." And then I got up and ran out. And I said, "Oh, Lord, forgive them. What are they doing still sitting in the same seat? In 20 years, haven't you moved?" "No. Still singing the same old hymns. Still walking around the same old problems. Criticizing in the same old way. Sitting in the same old seat. Oh, God, examine me. And may God make you willing to examine you. Let him examine you. Because, dear friend, if you're in the same place as you were 20 years ago, then I plead with you, get out and get going. My gospel is a gospel of movement. God never meant stagnation. The Israelites in the wilderness found that the manna kept the next morning stunk. And I wonder if some of us hadn't kept what we had from God so long that it stinks in his nostrils. And that's why there's no blessing. Oh God, examine me and turn out these things that should have been turned out years ago, and pour in love for people we'll never see maybe, but because you love them, we're going to love them too. Pray for them not because we know them, but because in your love you want us to pray for them. Ask him to tell you so that in your heart you will know. Friend, have you ever thought? Us who are clean, who live clean lives, who touch things that are clean, have you ever thought how they live behind those iron curtains? They're not clean. They're just not clean. Their bodies are not clean, and God intended they should be clean. My babies are dirty because you forgot how to pray. My young men and women in China think dirty thoughts. Why? Because we forgot how to pray, forgot how to ask and allow God to examine us and turn out our criticism. All that today we might see as God wants us to see. David, oh, I'm not having you anywhere. Come down lower and lower and lower. And friend, I believe that this is exactly what he wants. That as you go to your home or some quiet place on your knees, close your eyes and say, "Lord, let me see." And although you may never have been outside this small place, you will see what he wants you to see. Men in chains who long for freedom. Women who day by day bow to heathen idols because they don't know about a living God. Men who read all the filth that is put into their hands, maybe because they have never had a Bible put in and don't know there's even one ever been printed. Men and women who know of Christ but cannot tell anybody anything about him. I went last year to sit for days, not just hours, but days, on the border between Red China and Free China, because I had been out into America and I'd heard all sorts of
criticisms and things that people were talking about. And so I decided I would go, I would meet these people who were coming out personally. I would be the first one. I would see their reaction. I would ask them why they were coming, what they hoped to do. And I met one after another of these frustrated, disappointed men and women. The first class, the first lot, shall I say, that challenged me as much as anything has ever challenged me was that the majority were young men, risking their very lives for freedom, because only 10, 11, and at the most 12 years ago, they, because they were patriotic and loved their country and were longing for freedom and all that the other side were promising, had gone all out for this ideology that was being offered to them. They had marched in those great parades. They'd even told on their parents and seen their loved ones killed. They'd gone all the way. And now, at the end of these years, they decided that they were getting nothing back, that it was all a hoax, that the whole thing was a lie, and that they hadn't got anything. The outside, perhaps that had got more. These were the very young men who came to us and said, "What have you got to offer?" "You mean in the way of eating?" "No." "You mean in a job?" "No." "In here?" "I can offer you Jesus Christ." "Do you know anything about Jesus Christ?" "No." "Nope." "I can offer you peace, but only through God and Jesus Christ." They came, they believed. They are the very young men who right now in Hong Kong are standing as a witness for Jesus Christ. Friend, it isn't preaching sermons. It isn't going out to run around and do lots of things that maybe God never intended. It's to do, I believe, what God asked. I found families, not because the mother and father particularly wanted freedom for themselves as such, but they longed for it for their little ones. And so they were willing to allow those children and young people to suffer terrific agonies of starvation and exposure in the sun or the cold, that at the end I might give them freedom. They didn't know Christ, but they wanted freedom. And here they are. And unless we give them Christ, they're still not going to get freedom, are they? Search me, O God. Is any of this anything to do with you? Are these people yours? You who know freedom, you who now live in freedom, you to whom God has been so wonderful. This isn't a call, as you see, to the mission field. This is the thoughts that I have tried before God to, as it were, hand out to you in the longing that as God searched my heart, you will let him search yours. That as he had to turn out from my heart those contraband goods of hate and jealousy and evil, so you will let him turn them out from yours. That together you and I will stand. It may be in different places, but it will be for one purpose, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. And we shall be able to say,
Our God is the victor. Our God is the great almighty God. And although the world laughs and the world says that they are winning, we know that we are on the winning side. Friend, isn't this how you and I should be? Then this afternoon, shall we, before this wonderful Heavenly Father, but who is also the great God, as we bow before him, would you let him do something to you, as he's had to do something to us, to make us usable, so that through us he can pour some of his blessing out onto those who are so lonely, longing just for the touch of fellowship. You know, last year when I went back from America, and I had been around to all sorts of churches where men and women had sponsored orphans. And into one of the orphanages in Hong Kong, I drew all the little orphans together and I said, "Now I have been to that outside land, and I have seen all your other mothers and fathers, and they all send you their love, and they all hope you're going to be good." And I gave them a little talk, and I left the things that the different people had sent for their sponsored orphans. And they all trooped out except one little boy. And he stuck onto me, and as I moved forward, he moved forward. And when I stepped back, he stepped back. But he just wouldn't go. And while I was talking to others, he just stood there behind. And then I looked down at him, and I must say, "Well, what do you want?" And he looked up, and he was so excited he could hardly talk, and he said, did you see her? You know my mother?" Yes, I did. Well, I didn't know who his sponsored mother was, but I thought I'd better not say no. And he said, she sent me a wonderful present, didn't she?" Oh, I thought, yes. Well, I wonder if she did. And I tried to think up anything I could hand out to him, you know, as must say, "Well, yes, I saw your mother and here it is." But while I was trying to think this up, the little thing still hanging on to the side of me said, you know what he said? You see, he sent me a big kiss. And a big hug. And the little thing was so anxious. Just for love. For sympathy. For something that was away in America. The mother that he would never see, but knew and believed loved him. And was sending him across the ocean. Just a big kiss. And a big love. A big hug. And as I held the little boy, hugging him and kissing him, for the mother, I don't even know the sponsor, by the way, I thought of all the lonely little hearts, all those 400 babies lying in the reception center in Seoul, in Korea, all the lonely children around in those refugee camps who you cannot kiss or hug, only through prayer. Or through sending to someone else. Friend, would you let God search you? Because these are God's family, not just mine. May he give us courage to turn out. Because we're going to find that we have been rather selfish, haven't we? You could have paid a little less for your hat, dear friend, and given a little more to your missionary offering. I dare to suggest this. I'm a woman. We could have ate a little less of our cakes, which cost, I suppose, quite a lot. Because do you realize you pay more for one cake here in your Australia than five bowls of rice in a refugee camp in Hong Kong? Dear friends and ladies, you pay more for one lipstick than we spend to give Bibles to our new Christians. Oh, I know. Search me, O God. And dear friend, we have to face him. You don't face me. You can forget all about me. I don't matter. But he's God. And you and I have got to go there. I've got to go there. And he's going to ask me what I did with the money he gave me and the gifts he gave me. And that's why I dare to challenge. In the name of this wonderful, loving Father who loved my babies, who are his, and the refugees, and the lonely ones, and the heathen, and all those behind iron kilns. Friend, as we pray, would you let him speak to you? And when you've opened your heart, it'll be wonderful. You won't miss anything that you give to him. He'll fill your heart with joy and with peace and with love. Shall we pray? Great, almighty, but loving Heavenly Father, whom we believe art the only true and living God, we met today as a family to worship thee. We met because we believe we love you and you love us. And we long to be the best we can for you. O God, away in your lofty heaven, so pure, so holy, so almighty, so loving, but yet so righteous and so just and true, look down upon us. Search us, O God. And give us courage to turn out the contraband. Lord, you know that jealousy. You know our pride. You know our selfishness. You know our self-willed attitudes. You've listened with breaking heart to our criticism. And Lord, you know our hate. And the evil which we let into our hearts. Oh God, please do something with us. That from us, who aren't important in men's eyes, but important in your eyes, might be the vessels through whom you can pour your love and your Holy Spirit through, that someone might know you are God. Take us, we plead with thee, along your heavenly way. But, O Lord, we don't want to go by ourselves. We want to take these your Son died for on Calvary with us. And so we plead, dear Lord, today, give us love. Love for the unwanted babies in Korea. For the breaking hearts of all those widows in Seoul, Korea. For the lonely men without their wives. For the lonely women without their husbands. Because we weren't strong enough to stop men from dividing their country. We plead with thee, give us love. For the refugees as they pour out either in Hong Kong or in other places in this earth. That through our prayers and our giving or our going, they might know you are God. Lord Jesus, speak to us. Give us courage. Give us strength. And as we go out, continue to deal with us.
because we want to be just in the place where you can use us for thy glory. We pray especially for the Christians in Red China. Oh God, give us visions of those stinking prisons, of those great slave camps, of the young men and young women who are never going to be free. Oh Lord, break our hearts and teach us how to pray, that that prayer of faith might go through those walls and reach their lonely hearts and hold them up. Make them to understand they did not stand in vain. They did not hold up their heads for thee in vain. Thou art the Almighty God, and you're not going to let them down, and from today, neither will we. We pray thee for all those who, wherever they are in those lands where heathenism reigns, are bowing to heathen idols. O Lord, the emptiness, the futileness, the fruitlessness. We plead with thee that we may see with the eyes of our souls the lonely hearts, that through our giving or going they might know of you and your love. Search us, O God. Test and refine our thoughts, intentions and meanings. Look right inside us and see if there is hate or evil in our living, that right here and now you might take our hand, that from this moment we might go along your heavenly way. We ask this humbly for Jesus' sake. Amen.